The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So warm welcome everybody to a happy hour. And one thing that sometimes we hear about or read about in the suttas is about anger, how anger is generally viewed as unhelpful, and that it's can be poisonous. It can eat us up inside. And I know there's lots of different views about anger, and some people think we certainly should be angry about the injustices and the prejudices and biases and all kinds of terrible things that are happening. But in the Buddhist tradition and this early tradition, they're not denying that, but they are pointing to how it can really eat us up inside, this anger. And sometimes if the anger is directed towards us, somebody's yelling at us or whatever, often we sometimes get angry back and we start, you know, find ourselves raising our voices, speaking harshly or whatever it might be, or try to squash them in some kind of way with our words. That's a natural response, but I'm not sure there's that much wisdom in it, because then where do you go from there? And instead, you might say things that you later regret, and doesn't necessarily like create the conditions in which some greater understanding might occur. Or something, another way we might respond if somebody reacts towards us with anger is maybe we're like indirectly trying to point them to the error of their ways, but it's really obvious that we're trying to do that. But then, you know, sometimes when like people will ask, well, do you think that all people should do that everywhere, or who do you think you are? I don't know. There's some way in which people can not yell in their response, but the way that they respond is they're trying to like poke the person, and has a little bit of that anger attitude or something like that inside of it. And that also isn't helpful often, because people can just close down. I know I certainly do. When I feel like somebody's like indirectly, they're not really saying what they want to say, but they're hinting at it, and I feel kind of frustrated. Well, why can't we just speak clearly here or plainly? Or if you're angry with me or upset, can we just talk about it? But there's a third way, of course, in which we might respond if somebody's angry towards us. And this works as well if we are angry at ourselves also. But that is to meet this negative energy, this however it's getting expressed, whether it's with yelling or indirectly or with an email or however it might be, but to meet it with space. With space, and within that space, it has an attitude of some acceptance of, okay, here's anger, as opposed to immediately feeling like we have to respond in any particular way. And then that allows something else to unfold, and it might be, I don't know what the chances are, it's different in different situations, but it might be that within that space, that the person who is expressing their anger, they might have an opportunity to reflect on this or to notice it or to get back in touch with themselves. Like, oh, yeah, I'm angry. And to feel it. And to be a little bit less just taking away instead of just being carried away by the momentum of the moment, if we can, as best we can, provide some space that has this sense of acceptance or some warmth to it. So we might do this, we might give people some space that has a quality of warmth. And what does that look like? Will look different? Maybe it's sometimes with our body language, if that's appropriate at the time, if they can see us, is to look and see that, actually I can hear that there's a little bit of background noise, so I'm just going to mute a few of you. Just, I think sometimes this happens. So that we can have with, so one way we can do this space is with our body language to still clearly be present, clearly still be engaged. But maybe we don't say anything. Or maybe we say something like, can you say something more? Or something like this. And maybe the person who's angry will have just continue ranting and raving and being anger and will not take that space and will not reflect back on themselves. They will not change their trajectory they're on, and they'll just keep on going until they run out of energy or something like this. We have no control over this, right? But it might be that if we can meet with some space, maybe that means that we don't respond directly to what they're saying, or it's more asking them to give them space to say more, or the invitation to say more. There might be, there can be the opportunity for something different to unfold, for there to be a shift. No guarantees, no guarantees. We don't get to control other people. But we're helping to create the conditions in which the anger can be mitigated, the anger can be softened, brought down, and things can shift, and maybe a conversation can happen. So there's no guarantee that giving space to negative energy will resolve the situation. No guarantees. But it does give the other person the opportunity. It does give the other person the chance to maybe work with it. And the alternative to respond with more anger or to completely close down and run away or to try to indirectly poke them or manipulate them in some way, that pretty much is a guarantee, not always, that something profound won't happen. But they won't have a new understanding. We won't feel like we understand things better. But if we give space, there's the chance that something profound will happen, that they'll have a greater understanding, that we'll have a greater understanding, that we will understand them better. So giving space, and I keep on using this phrase, and it's a vague expression, and it takes so many different forms. Maybe it's being silent. Maybe it's encouraging people to say more, but we say it in a way that has warmth and care in our body language, our tone. Maybe if not explicitly in our words. But to give space is one of the best things we can do for other people. It's one way we can care for them, help them. And it's a noble thing to do. And it doesn't mean that at the moment we're condoning what they're saying. It's not saying that we're agreeing with them. But we're creating the conditions in which they might have a different understanding, in which they might grow something. So we might consider it as a gift to others, and a gift to ourselves. So this idea of giving space to others, of course, this is one way in which loving kindness can be expressed. And our having practiced loving kindness and equanimity allows us to allows us to have the capacity to not be reactive when people are angry to us. allows us to instead respond with some warmth and care and space. So with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation practice. I'm going to adjust my chair here. So taking a posture, comfortable posture that's alert and has some comfort with it, but also some uprightness. And just feeling into the moment, what does it feel like to be sitting here now, feeling the pressure of the chair against the body? Feeling the body breathing. Can we tune into the experience of breathing in a way that's easeful? We're not straining or pouncing, just in a relaxed, easy, and yet committed way, being with the experience of breathing. Feeling the rhythm of breathing. And when the mind wanders, we just very simply, gently begin again. We don't have to make it a problem. We don't have to make a big story. Just begin again. Is there a way that we can give ourselves space when we notice that the mind has drifted away from the breath? and then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being. Someone or some being whereby it's uncomplicated to feel warm-hearted towards them. Somebody we know. Somebody we know about. Imaginary kittens, puppies, babies, pets, whomever. Connecting with this lovable being. And then to support the cultivation of loving kindness, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to expand our loving kindness to include ourselves, taking care of ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Of course, we can modify the phrases. If these words don't quite work for you, no problem. Can you find some other words that feel more resonant for you? And then to support this idea of being able to give others space when we see anger, feel the anger from them, do a little bit of equanimity practice. Help us to stay balanced. For this practice, bring to mind somebody you care about. And somebody who's a little bit irksome. Not the most difficult person in your life, but just somebody who's a little bit troublesome sometimes. I'll offer a few phrases. You don't need to say all of them. Often with equanimity practice, we just choose one. you can do what feels right for you. So bringing the irritating person to mind. You can say this phrase. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from difficulties. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from difficulties. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. Can we feel the space in that expression? So this idea of giving space to others when we see their anger or the recipient of their anger. But in order for us to do that, we need to have some foundation, some stability inside of us. So this loving kindness and the equanimity practice can be a tremendous support in so many ways in our lives. And this is just one of them. So not necessarily that we have to say equanimity phrases when we're in the middle of receiving anger, or that we have to wish loving kindness. Sometimes that's not available to us in the midst of anger. But if our hearts and minds have the experience of equanimity or loving kindness, it is so much easier to have access to it. Even if we can't completely do it like the same as in a meditative experience, just letting the mind and the body, I don't know, maybe it's a little bit like a habit, right? The more that you do it, the easier it becomes. so we have greater access to it. If we can, you know, say equanimity phrases to ourselves or at that moment, great. But most often, in the midst of all this anger coming towards us, just, you know, any shift that we can do that can help us create more space just for us as well as for others. What a difference that can make, right? What a difference how things can unfold rather than escalate. So this is one way in which some of this loving kindness and equanimity, the Brahman Viharas, these practices can make a difference in our lives. A practical difference in our lives. So it can be helpful to talk about some of these ideas, this idea of giving space. I'm just using this phrase. So you can talk with others. What does it mean to give space? Does it mean like time or physical or with our expressions, our body language, or like what are some ideas? That's one thing you might talk about in a breakout room. Or maybe you might talk about when we are experiencing anger, that ways that loving kindness and or equanimity can show up. I'm using this expression, giving space, but maybe there's other ways that it can show up. So I'd like to put you into rooms of 3 or 4. And we'll meet for like 13 minutes or so. Have an opportunity to talk about some of these ideas. And it's helpful to not say every idea you have about this topic, but maybe there's a... Maybe you have just one idea, something you could share, and then as opposed to a big, long story, and then it goes to the next person, and they say just one thing, and then it goes to the next person, and they say one thing, and then it comes back around to you, and now you've heard something different, and maybe something new will arise in your mind. Maybe you'll hear yourself say something that you are a little bit surprised about, like, wow, I didn't even know that I thought that, or something like this. So we can, if it's helpful in the circle, you can go in the order of the day of the month you were born. If you were born on the first of the month, you would go first. And here we go. Okay.
Now let's see.
Welcome back, everybody. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something that they'd like to share after that breakout group? Anybody have something they'd like to add? We don't have to. Just like to provide an opportunity just in case.
I have a comment that might be helpful to everyone.
Yes.
In one of these sessions, the teacher gave us 4 things. I remember the first 2 or 3, and maybe that's all that's needed, but said if things are bad, don't make it worse. If you're making it worse, stop. If there's a way to make it better, do that. That might be number 4. I'm missing number 3, but there you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see. So this is a shorthand way for the right efforts. Let's see. So number 4 is keep it. If it's going well, keep it, I think. And the number 3 is if it's continue. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's kind of like just create the conditions in which the bad stuff or don't make things worse. And if you can, make them better. I think that's what you were saying too. So thank you. Thank you. That's in the Eightfold Path. For those of you who are familiar with his Buddhist teachings, it's one way to understand Samavayama, I think, is a right effort. What to put our energy towards. Okay, so here we are at the top of the hour. So thank you all for your practice. It's a beautiful thing to practice together and that we come together and explore and grapple with maybe with some of these teachings. So thank you. And I'll see you next week. So bye-bye. If you like, you can unmute and we'll say goodbye.
Bye, Diana. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Bye, Diana. Good to see you again. Bye, Diana.
Bye, Neil. Thanks so much.
Bye. Thank you, Sangha. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.